the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman and another episode of the Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome to everybody, whether you're just joining me for the first time or you've been here before. Glad you're here. All right, let's buckle in. Don't speed up your player to like 1.25 times or even 1.5 times, okay? You really can't do that. It's fine. In fact, I'll talk like this, and therefore when you speed it up, it's exactly the speed it's supposed to be. One of the weirdest openings to any podcast. This is 105 now, 105 episodes, and I just keep getting more odd. There's got to be some sort of Guinness World Record in there somewhere. If you go to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava, and you look at Sid Garza Hillman or type that name in, you'll find me. My website, SidGarzaHillman.com. And man, did I have a technological meltdown last week. Recorded the podcast Monday night. Went inside to upload it and couldn't get into my website. That's weird. It won't let me in to make adjustments. And then I just went to my website and it was completely down. Thank goodness I do a podcast every week. That was how I found that out. And about 4 hours later, well past midnight, still wasn't up. And so it was a major thing. So anyway, it's working now. If you go on there and find anything that's incorrect, just let me know because I'm just making sure it migrated over correctly. And I actually don't even know what the word migrate means. I think it's technological, though. Anyway, you can go to SidGarzaHillman.com and put your email into the upper right-hand corner to subscribe. Basically, what you'll get if you choose it is a little notification when the podcast comes out, or a blog post, for instance, or a newsletter, which I don't do, a newsletter. So, you know, there you go. Don't select that one. You can also get Approaching the Natural merchandise there, t-shirts, mugs, and bracelets. That's about it for the selling type product-y stuff. And you can get my book on Amazon and in bookstores and everywhere around the country, world, really, because you can order it, you know. Okay, good. If you'd like to support this podcast, and thank you for those who have, you can donate to the podcast through the website as well. So hit the donation button, takes you to PayPal, super easy to do. You can even set up literally like $2 a month or something like that. Okay, good. Or just throw me an iTunes review, word of mouth, you got it. Okay, a little bit about me in case you're just joining me. I am a certified nutritionist and health coach. I work with private clients all over the country of the United States and world, technically, now. And I also head up the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California. That's StanfordInn.com. You can find out. I'm just about to launch next year's retreats, so keep an eye on those. We'd love to have you guys out to visit me and work with me directly, or you can do that through me with me as a private coach. Good. Appearances coming up November 14th and 15th in Portland, Oregon, in the States of United, and that's nwveg.org/vegfest. I am up on their website. It's official. Boom. Jeff Stanford, the owner of the Stanford Inn, was going to come up there because they're going to, turns out they're going to sponsor the event. So he was going to come up and now he can't because he's got to officiate a wedding. Weird world we live in, don't you think? Good. Marshall, Texas. I will be there April 1st through the 3rd. Healthfest.com. There's some names on that one. And I'm not even talking about me because, you know, I'm not the biggest name. But there's some big names at that one. So that's going to be a good one. Good. I'm working on a new YouTube video, so look out for that. But in the meantime, you might as well subscribe to the channel. Got some new subscribers this week. Very cool. I'm really having fun with that. So look out for a new video. And best way to do that is to subscribe. You can get a notification. Okay, good. Let's get into this a little bit. I got some stuff to discuss, as I always do. If you're just joining me, I come here every week and talk about my philosophy of health and happiness, how to live better in the modern world. I sort of fashion myself, and this isn't like delusions of grandeur. This is just how I position myself in the healthy living world as sort of the antithesis to a lot of the hoopla. And it's very, very popular stuff, paleo diet and these kinds of quick fix diety, paleo, did I mention paleo? CrossFit kinds of worlds. And look, I'm not even the information in those, and even like especially in the CrossFit world, like there it's valid, and there's, you know, for and against for sure, like all this stuff. I don't really want to be in the arena of the for and against. I'm not really, that's not my bag. I don't really talk about labels here. I don't really talk about diets. Why? Because I'm not into the framework of diets. I'm not into the idea of the quick fix. So while my nutritional recommendations, let's say, may align with a certain diet or a certain label, to me, I don't want to get in that arena. This is not my bag. Okay. Now I mentioned I don't want to discount the Roosevelt quote from a few episodes back, the presidential episode, because I'm very much in the arena of getting this done and helping people. But I don't want to get into the game of competing with another diet because it's not my bag. I don't believe diets work, so I'm not going to enter to say my diet's better than yours because I don't do diets. If you go to other podcasts that are diet related, fine. I've got no problem with that either. I just want you to make a little bit of effort to parse out the useful information out of those things. Much like when I read a diet book, I sort of read up into the point where the shopping list appears and you know what you're going to do on day two, and then I sort of shut the book. But I want to see what the information is, and et cetera, et cetera. I think you've got the idea. But that's kind of where I position myself. It's sort of like, do the diets, look at all those things, go to those podcasts. They're all amazing, I'm sure. But at the same time, this is a philosophy podcast. Really at its foundation, this is a philosophy. This is like trying to make sense of the things in the world that we created, human beings did this, but trying to make sense of that at the same time. It's you know, my background is in philosophy. I have a bachelor's degree in philosophy from UCLA. Graduated in 1991. You can look it up. Got really good grades in philosophy. Not so good in geography. Not so good. Not so good in atmospheric sciences. One of the first science classes I took, I'm not kidding you, was my freshman year. I was in the dorms, Reber Hall, in case anybody is checking. To satisfy one of my science requirements, I took atmospheric sciences 1. I remember it to this day. So I'm slogging through atmospheric sciences 1 just because I got to get something on my transcript for the science, only to find out that it didn't actually satisfy a science. It was an elective. It turned out to be an elective. It was a 100% waste of my time. It was literally how to tell the weather. And I got like a C- in it. It was brutal. Atmospheric sciences 1, and there was a guy in the back, and he was a teacher's aide, and the professor every day would go, okay, so what's the forecast for tomorrow? Because they sort of teach you how to read the maps and all that kind of. And this guy in the back, he'd sit there and he'd go, well, Bob, it looks like we have a cold front coming in from the north. Like every day there was a cold front coming in from the north. I don't even know what kind of weather patterns there were that year. Very difficult for me to get through that class. That's not at all what I was going to talk about today. So way to go for getting me off topic. Anyway, background in philosophy. There was the deal there. And so when I went back to school to become a nutritionist, I really brought with me, not really intentionally at the time, but I started to notice big picture items. I started to notice conflicts. I started to notice discrepancies. I started to notice just things that were like, okay, if you have cancer, eat this. If you have arthritis, don't eat that. And it would be the same thing. I'd be like, well, what if you have cancer and arthritis? Is there really that much complication with regard to what we're supposed to put in our bodies? Is it that difficult? Are we so different, all 7 billion of us, that we're each individualized so much that not one single thing applies to anybody? That's when I started to sort of poke holes in this thing. And so I position myself sort of outside what I think is a craziness, and a lot of it is market driven, economically driven things, people that are selling you things and trying to make you confused, frankly. I don't think it's that confusing. I don't think living in the modern world, or I'll put it this way, I don't think living healthy and happy is confusing at all. I think it's super duper easy. I think when you put us into the world of marketing and advertising and all these kinds of things, it feels like it's a difficult, really hard to get your brain around kind of thing, but it's not. More on that a little bit later. But how do we do this? I mean, this is the question I want to bring to you every week. And I also, by the way, position myself as sort of a reminder type podcast. Sure, I talk about topics and I'll talk about you know, dietary fads that are out there, and I'll address those for real. But at the same time, I'm trying to, especially when it comes to food, is actually get people to think about the particulars a lot less and really ask themselves the big questions of how they want to live in the world. I think that's a really good place to start, and I hope that this podcast affords you a moment in your week to ask some big questions and to ponder some big questions in the comfort of your own car. If you don't drive while listening to this, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't really matter. Okay. So last week I keep hitting the microphone thing with my glasses. I've been to 105 episodes. Today I can't physically maneuver my head without hitting a microphone. Figure that one out. Last week I had an espresso in my cute little travel espresso mug. I mean, it got me thinking. Like, it's not mine, but for the record, I bought it for my wife. It got me thinking, though, like, why does the travel mug for an espresso have to be smaller? I mean, you could put an espresso in a gargantuan travel mug, but it's just this little bit of liquid in the bottom, so it kind of makes sense. And the damn thing's so cute, I feel like I want to carry it around with me. I've yet to buy myself one, but I just kind of pilfer it during the podcast. My wife doesn't seem to mind. We'll see. So where was I? The big questions, okay? Big questions and espresso. We've talked about big questions and we've talked about espresso today. Okay, good. Now, well, I was mentioning just a minute ago about how it isn't that complicated to be happy and healthy in the modern world. This presents, I'll just say, a little bit of like, what? Because so many of us are struggling. And I don't want to be like a downer podcast. If you've listened to this before, it's hopeful. I feel like I'm very positive. What I'm trying not to do is waste your time with crap and say, you know, if you just do this every day, you're magic, you know? And so I want to just lay this in, like, it's rough. Money doesn't solve anything. There's no like magic bullet. No matter what, money's not that thing. There's not a diet that's that thing. There's not an exercise DVD that's that thing. There's no one thing. And I want us to acknowledge the addiction, like I mentioned last week's episode. I want to acknowledge that it's a struggle in the modern world. I want us to acknowledge those things so we can get on top of those things and go, okay, fine, got that. To me, it's such a disappointment because I think everybody listening to this right now can grasp and put their head around struggle. I think everybody can understand, like I mentioned last week, that a successful relationship takes effort. I think living healthy takes way more effort in the modern world than it ever would in nature. And why? Because we're up against messaging that says it is easy and it's not. And that's what bothers me. And I just want you to visit here every week to get in a way a reality check. That's essentially what I'm doing, is a reality check. And like I said, you do the diet. You mean keep on until you're just like, I can't do it anymore. It's just can't do it anymore. Great. That's the best place I can have you, because then, and by the way, realize that dieting is also struggle. I mean, there's just no way to get on top of the trying to do the things that we want to do without there being struggle. We can just not do anything and there's struggle. Like I said, when you don't do anything, you suffer from stagnancy. You suffer from emotional stagnancy. Right? Or you suffer from this thing of like sitting in your room and not trying anything, fear, like just being afraid to try anything. There's always struggle. So let's just not try to avoid it. Let's learn how to embrace it and say, okay, this is kind of going to suck. But you get used to it. You realize how powerful you are and how much you can get through. And you feel better on the other end. That's why this is a hopeful, positive podcast. I'm not trying to sell you a system that doesn't work. I'm trying to sell you a system that does. And it ain't expensive. So great. There's no real loss there. And by the way, while you're small stepping, learning this system, do your diet. Like I said, do it. But use that opportunity to diet, or use that opportunity to do the quick fix DVD, to pay attention to the process of what that's like while you're doing it. Do you burn out? Do you dread it? How long do you last at it? Does it last? Is it sustainable? Why do you want to do it in the first place? What are you trying to get out of your life? What is your life missing such that you want to do the DVD or the diet? What are you trying to get to? Those are the big questions you can do. And then do that thing. It's exciting. I've done those things. I still get like turned on when I find something that, like some DVD, I'm like, wow, that looks cool. Like, it may be cool. I don't know. It may fit in your life. That 10-minute, you know, Beachbody DVD may be amazing for you. Your lifestyle may be such that you can just nail that thing and keep on keeping on and get the rock hard abs. More power to you. I think it's fantastic. I just want you to bring some attention and awareness and thought into your life so that you can be happy while you're doing it. And know that it's really not about the rock hard abs. It's partially about the rock hard abs. Not even saying that. Okay, who wouldn't want rock hard abs? Now I hit the microphone with the espresso cup. I don't even know what's going on. I haven't moved the microphone. It's in the same place as it was last week. I played my guitar. Here's what's interesting, and I'm a small stepper. I mean, I'm the small step advocate. So I'm like advocating, okay? Advocacy. My music step has not changed since I began it 5 months ago. I think about 5 months ago, 4 to 5 months. I mean, if you've been following me, let me know, because you know I don't take notes or pay attention to what I'm talking about each week. I'm usually in a drug-induced fog. And so then I wake up and go, why was there a microphone in my face? But the music step. So I began my music step with put my hands on my guitar once a week. I married it to my existing habit, which has become a habit, of recording my podcast Monday nights. So I was like, okay, I know I'm going into the room to do the podcast. I'll set my guitar up. I think if you haven't visited me before, please go back and listen to old episodes, okay? Because you'll kind of hear this whole thing. The short story is, when you introduce a new step, it's a very, very effective tool to marry that new step to something you already do, a habit that you already do. Essentially, what we're doing here, by the way, guys, is we're turning small steps into habits. They're called small steps until they become a thing that you just do without thinking. Then it's a habit, and you don't even call it a habit because you just do it. So fine. But when you're small stepping into a new behavior, marry it to existing ones. So a deep breath per day, that you put a note on your toothbrush because you're going to your toothbrush anyway, and there's a little note that says deep breath, and then you take a deep breath. Eventually, you get so used to taking a deep breath every day that you take the note off the toothbrush because you just take a deep breath every time you reach for your toothbrush and beyond. Because now you think about deep breaths. It's on your radar. It's something you do. And all of a sudden, you're taking deep breaths throughout the day. I did notice today, it's very interesting. My car is a trigger. Essentially, what we're doing is also creating new triggers and also new habits and rewards. I mean, this whole behavioral loop. This is my area of research and study and habit and introducing new habits and what are triggers. And you essentially create, I think I've said essentially like 1,600 times in the last 5 minutes. Another world record. Amazing. My car is a trigger. So this morning I got in the car to drive the kids down to school, which I do every day, and took a deep breath at around 8:20. And that was the first deep breath of the day. And I'd been up, you know, by that time, almost 2 hours. It's very interesting how little we actually do breathe. And I have clients who I start, you know, we build in a step of a morning deep breath, just getting up in the morning and taking a deep breath. So one of the things that I would suggest you try, see what you think, can't lose, you breathe anyway, is put a note on your mirror or your toothbrush in the morning, wherever you're going to be in the morning, your teapot, and just take a deep breath while you're waiting for the coffee machine or the teapot, okay? It's an incredible thing. I mean, it really is to take a deep breath. As I'm in the car, I take this nice deep breath, and it just feels incredible. But also, I'm like, 2 hours have gone by, and I'm taking one single deep breath. Isn't that amazing how much floods into our brains in the morning? How much of life floods into our brains? Do you think that much would flood into our brain if we were living in nature? Of course not. Nothing floods into your brain. You get up and you go, I'm hungry, I'm going to go find some food. You don't go, I got to take the kids, and then I got to go to work, and I have this thing. Oh, I got this 40 emails to respond to, and I'm not talking about you guys emailing. That's I love. But work emails, right? And so all these kinds of things hanging over our heads, things that I got to do. That floods in my brain first thing when I wake up in the morning, and I think that most people have that similar experience. And so if you can build in a moment, even in the midst of that nutty nut, to take a deep breath, huge win. Huge win. Okay? Steve win. Espresso's still hot. This is, again, so much solution in my life. When you come at your life, how do I solve the situation? It's just cool stuff. Like the light, the pen light. I've been journaling every night. No problem. I got this pen with a light on it. That was the thing holding me up. Very cool. Listen to an old episode. You'll get that. But what I was talking about was my music step, because it's very interesting to me that I have not upped that step at all. I have not increased the step, which is a weekly getting my hands on a guitar step. I have felt what I've called so long ago, I think it was like episode 20 something, which was the tension of should, this constant feeling like we should be doing more. We should be this and we should be that. And like with everything else, I want you to, when you feel that, go, why should I? Why should I? Now, the answer may be because I really want to. Fantastic. But some of the should is like, I don't think I really should. And great too. Good to know. And at the end of the day, this is about knowledge, self-knowledge, awareness, self-esteem, confidence. That which comes from asking the questions in the first place. Why do I feel obligated? Why do I feel like I should have six-pack abs? I should go to spin class. I should call my friend. What if you don't want to call your friend? Put that on the table. And then if you find out you do, then great. Then it's no longer a should, then it's a want. And you're in charge of that. Okay? But back to my music step. So I haven't increased it. I just find it interesting because I just feel like it's kind of a huge success for me. Like I thought maybe, I think maybe you think that I would be disappointed in that. I think it's excellent because it has really, really improved my life playing guitar again. I have a tape recorder that has a ton of ideas on it. And now I'm thinking of, you know, changing the existing step, not adding to it, because I guess my life right now is where it's at. I don't really want to adjust that step. I'm kind of good where it is. I'm doing other stuff too. Like the video that I want to work, you know, that I'm in the middle of. I'm excited by that too. So good. But if I think if I change, alter my step, my music step to now going back and revisiting the ideas that I have on the tape recorder and maybe developing those into songs, that may be kind of a cool thing. So I got a tweet last week or 2 weeks ago, and this guy was like, hey, love the, you know, love what you're doing and everything, but I really miss the music, because he must have been somebody who listened to me, you know, when I played music full time, which is cool. So I wrote back and I said, music's coming. And it really is. I've got ideas going. I'm writing again. This is amazing. And this is creativity, by the way, that plays as much a role in health and happiness, in my opinion, as anything else. I devoted a ton of time to that in the book, because I think that we have creative minds, and I think that's something that is of value to us and allows us to achieve greater happiness in the modern world, is creative, our creative pursuits. I believe that wholeheartedly. Okay? All right. So that's just a little thing about my music step. So I got another email from a listener, and he sent me a link to an article, a post, if you will, by a fairly effective coach, running coach, who has a method of his own. But when it comes to nutrition, I already knew that he did just stuff I just don't agree with. I just think it's crazy. And again, like, I think that it's just misguided more than anything else. So of course, this post is on, guess what? Frickin' fat coffee, butter coffee, butter coffee, coconut oil coffee. You know, it's a whole thing. Now, by the way, I also got tagged in an Instagram post. This is not a joke. This is not a joke. If this were a joke, it'd be the best joke ever. But because it's not a joke, it's the worst thing ever. There's something on the shelves now called fat water. And they showed a picture in somebody Instagram, fat water. Go Google it, fat water. It's water with coconut oil in it, in the water. What's going on with us? Look at us species. Look at our species, every other species. Huh? Do we have it nailed down? You guys, other species on the earth, are we just not the bomb? Butter, coconut oil is just flying through the roof. I don't know what's going on with it. So he asked me my opinion, because there's all this stuff on there about how it creates more fat burning and makes you fat adaptive and makes your metabolism run faster and all these kinds of things. Of course, it's supported by research. Of course, I can find other research, but okay, neither here nor there. So what I wrote to him was this, and he sent it to me, and I appreciate that, because he said maybe you could mention it on the podcast, and here I am. Be that as, let's just for the sake of argument say that drinking coconut oil in your coffee, and by the way, this article also touted the benefits of coffee also as a fat burner. Okay, good, fine. Now, I drink coffee. I love coffee. I roast coffee. But here's what I know. Coffee's not a health food. I'm just putting it out there. Okay, I don't need another study to tell me it's good for me, and then next year it's going to be bad for me, and then good for me a bit again. Now the new thing is 4 to 5 cups a day. Seriously, I've drank 4 or 5 cups a day. And it's not to my benefit, you know what I'm saying? The problem with all of these kinds of studies that occur is that they're very limited. So they'll say 4 to 5 cups a day, but they don't take into account the over, and this is where I fully differ from most practitioners out there, is because we could put a diet together and test a bunch of people, but we don't know their lifestyle stress. And many studies don't take that into account, and how that slows down digestion and how that weakens immune systems. We don't take into account how quickly their bodies are programmed to lower glucocorticoid levels after stress, that, by the way, is set in the womb for the crying out loud. So there's all these kinds of things. And so coffee for 4 to 5 cups a day may work for one person because they have the ability to recover from the stress of the coffee and they may get a better benefit. I don't know. But that doesn't make coffee good for you, for crying out loud. Now, let's say for the sake of argument that coffee and butter and coconut oil in said coffee increases your metabolism and creates a system in your body that is an efficient fat burner. Now, I've talked about fat adaptation because when I was training for my ultra marathon, when I worked with the coach that I was working with, Matt Flaherty, who's, by the way, back in the game and just kicked ass in a race in Belgium, go runflaherty.com. He had injured himself. He's back. It's pretty cool. I haven't been in touch with him, but I just follow him now and then. And so he was working with me in terms of what I was eating during long runs, and I'd go for a real long run and not eat anything, and then I would eat just a little bit, and we kind of played with that. And the whole idea was, and the pacing of which was to get your body to be more efficient at creating energy from fat so that it doesn't burn through the glycogen stores in your muscles. So, fine. Here's the rub. Here's the problem I have with all these things is you read that thing and there's this underlying kind of feeling to the article. There's an underlying message, which is faster metabolism and burning fat. You can do that with coffee and butter in it, and butter and coconut oil and coffee. And there's this underlying messaging there that doesn't say it in the article, but the implication is, and therefore that's a good thing. Therefore, that's a good thing. And that's my problem. That's the kind of stuff I look at and go, wait a second, let's really find out what's going on here. A fast metabolism is a hotter burning body, is a more waste-filled body, a fat-adaptive body as well. You're burning fat, and there's more oxidation and more free radical damage as a result of creating fat energy from fat. That's a fact. Faster metabolism is not advantageous to us in terms of health. It can be advantageous for us in terms of weight loss, but not in terms of health. Advantageous for us as human beings is a slow, quiet burning fire that is highly efficient, highly clean, less waste, and that creates health, which, by the way, a side effect of which will be a healthy weight. I hope that I have a slow metabolism. I have no interest at all in speeding up my metabolism. Can we be honest for a second and realize that the fast metabolism messaging is a quick fix magic pill message? We love the idea that without doing anything, if we just speed up our metabolism, we will be at a good weight. We love that idea because, again, there's that message I mentioned last week, which is essentially do it while you sleep. Speed your metabolism up while you sleep. This is the message we want to grab onto whatever we can that we think is going to solve our problems, but it doesn't and it won't and it never freaking will. If we talk about health, if we make the conversation about health and happiness, then we can start talking about the real deal and actually how to get more of both in a real, real sustainable way. We've got to dispense of this coffee, butter, coconut oil thing because he ain't lying. Let's say it burns fat. Let's say it raises the metabolism. So what? If that's your goal, then do it. But it ain't going to make you happy and it ain't going to make you healthy. That's what this podcast is for. Got it? Good. Don't make me do that again. Have an espresso. I can just feel the fat burning off my body. It's amazing. It's just mad. It gives me stuff to make fun of. I mean, I got that coming for me, right? Okay. So one thing that I wanted to talk about today, so I'm doing fruit only today again. Now you guys are going to go like, oh, here we go again, the freaking fruit only. Okay, it's not about the fruit. I was thinking about it a lot because it's so working for me. I really, really like it. And it really, what I realized is has nothing to do with fruit per se. And that's what I was putting my attention to was like, okay, what is getting done here? Do I think fruit is extremely healthy? Of course. But mostly what I talk about when I talk about my fruit only days is really not about the nutritional value of fruit at all, or even the hydration value of fruit, which is huge too. Really not. What I talk about is usually coming off a weekend where I've had a, you know, some heavier food, not heavier box, but just like heavier food, not as much fresh vegetables and fruits and just kind of a couple beers, you know, that kind of normal weekend stuff. And so on Mondays, I've been most Mondays for the last couple months, missed a few. I do a fruit only day. What I'm doing there, and if I had a drummer, I'd just drum roll it because I'm going to introduce a new hashtag today. Boom. Hashtag. Follow me on Twitter. The hashtag is hashtag, which used to be the pound sign, by the way. So it was just a pound sign. Dial back day. Hashtag dial back day. Because what I realize is what this is doing for me is I'm just kind of dialing it back. And that's what's been so incredibly effective. And so what I was thinking about is, for the sake of argument, let's say your normal day is two fried eggs and bacon in the morning, and then a turkey sandwich on white bread with cheese and French fries, and then, you know, a pizza for dinner. Okay, which could seem crazy, but there's like millions of people that do that every day. So fine. So there's your day to day. That's your most of the time. So dialing it back for you, if you decide to partake in this at some point, I'll explain what I really mean by this, to dial it back again. Your dial back day could be whole grain cereal and soy milk and a veggie sandwich and cut veggies and brown rice pasta with marinara and a big salad for dinner or a couple of baked potatoes. That could be a huge dial back day for you, but nothing like my fruit day, because really not dialing it back for me, because my most of the time already has a ton of fruits and vegetables in it. Dialing it back for me just happens to be the fruit. That's just kind of what dialing it back is, but it's about the dial back. It's about the dial back day. Now, I'm going to touch on restriction, because dial back seems like, okay, well, it's like a restriction, but it's not called a restriction day. And calorically, I'm not restricting at all. I'm eating just as many calories as I do anyway, just different food. But what I'm doing by dialing it back one day a week is what I've talked about before, which is resetting my clock, reconnecting, regrounding, kind of just, you know, a mildly kind of swing balance to my weekend. Now, my weekends aren't crazy. They're not. I'm not getting drunk and just eating, you know, pork rinds all day. You know, I'm relatively to most people, I'm still eating pretty well. It's just relative to me, it's a little more heavy. I can feel it. I feel a little sluggish on my run this morning. I'm feeling a little sluggish. So the motivation there for me is, and I'm going to get to motivation in 1 second, is to dial it back, but not, I'm not giving up anything. In fact, it's all about gain. And I'm going to get to the struggle about that in a moment. But for now, the motivation for any step that you do, you have to create that motivation. Fine, got it. And what I mean by that is don't brush over that lightly. Well, it's hard for me to say don't. If your motivation for a thin body is because what you see in Vogue magazine, there's a pretty darn good chance you ain't gonna stick to it. Okay? Because forget about the fact that it's photoshopped and that person may or may not have a full-time job doing that and work with trainers and they have all and motivation. And by the way, that doesn't necessarily at all mean that person is happy. In fact, many times it means the opposite of that, but don't get me started. To be successful in any life change, whether you adopt my small steps approach to that change or not, but any change, long-term goals I don't know why it's got to do with human psychology. We don't do well with sort of down the line type goals. We don't stick to things that are like, I'm going to change my life now because I don't want to get cancer in 40 years. That's a rough thing, because tomorrow you have a crappy day at work and you go, yeah, cancer's not for 40 years. Like I need some Ben and Jerry's. You know, like it's got to be, here's my point. Check your motivations. Really check your motivations. And that's why I always say, like, a, you know, six pack, you know, abs, for instance. What you're really trying to do is feel good in your body. But it goes even beyond that, because you're not going to have six pack abs tomorrow morning just because you did some sit ups today and ate some whatever. It's never going to be that fast. You've got to figure out a motivation that is going to connect you to today, to tomorrow. And that's part of the difficulty of this process for any, not even the small step process. I just mean improving your life, is you've got to connect something that can get you started today. Now, the reason why I think my small steps approach works is because I advocate for you starting with a step so small that you're not expecting there to be any major life huge change tomorrow, and your motivation can be down the line because you're not upset your life. If you take on too much, chances are you're going to fail because you're taking on all this stuff and you're not seeing a result right away, because results don't happen right away. Even the fastest diet is 21 days or a 10-day juice fast. You still got to get through that stuff. It's brutal and it doesn't last and everything else. Don't get me started. So the motivation is, you know, connecting immediately in your brain happiness, self-esteem. So it's that if you have a day where you eat better, trust me when I tell you, because I've been doing this a while, your self-esteem gets a little boost. Your confidence gets a little boost. You get through that day, it's something. It's not about all of a sudden a little bit of the weight, no pun intended, has been shifted away from the scale goal on the stupid weighing scale and moved over to, I kind of got that done. I added a step into my life. I ate really better. I was able to do something I didn't think that I could do. These are self-esteem, self-confidence, messaging. This is what happens right away. And not only does it happen right away, it's essential, boom, another word, essential that it does happen right away, because otherwise you won't stick to it. If you don't connect what you're really trying to do with your actions, you're going to fail. If you keep thinking about that scale number, 134, if I could just get to 134, that's like, if I could just make this much money, if I could just have this kind of car, if I could just get past this blah, blah, blah. These are a kick in the can. These are down the road goals. They're real tough to handle, because in the moment, you got to go like, yeah, but I just want my XYZ. You've got to make cracks into the habits that you're doing today to make those cracks not so stressful on you, to make those cracks sustainable, so that you can just keep on building over time, over time, over time. So you want to exercise because you want to be thin. Well, if you can connect that exercise to, I want to exercise today. Yes, down the line, I want to be thin. Fine. I want to be at healthy weight. Great. But today, if I start exercising, that's alone time. That's time I can breathe. I can check out for a little bit. I can put on headphones. I can listen to a podcast or listen to music. Boy, what an awesome thing to be able to do, is take a little break out of my day and do this amazing thing. See how there's another conversation there that's so far outside of, if I do 1 hour of spin class, I will burn 772 calories. And if I do that every day for 5 days, that's 3,500 calories. And that's 1 pound, you know, blah, blah, blah. So connecting your motivation to a goal that's today as well as down the line. I'm not saying don't take the down the line. We all want to have a healthy body and feel good. Great, great, great. But if, you know, you exercise and that's a meditation for you, it's calming for you, you're out in nature. Oh, I can move my body, but really it's really fun to be in the trees walking around. Well, that's going to keep you doing that activity because you're finding out a now benefit to it. Okay? Now, with that said, I want to pop back into integration a little bit. I'm still in my integrated movement step. I'm up to 18 push-ups, 18 squats per day, 7 times a day, most days, 5 to 6 days a week. 1 day a week, I usually do pull-ups. This last Saturday, I had an amazingly just crap day. Again, 2 weeks in a row, trying to build a fence for my daughter. We're getting a horse. And digging some holes for the posts and just two water lines. Just dug a hole, hit a water line, dug another hole, and then the third hole, hit another water line. So anyway, but the short of that is that I was moving around and lifting things all day. So of course, I was doing integrated movement again, wasn't I? So I didn't need to do my push-ups and squats. I was doing plenty of movement. That's how that rolls. Okay, so, but back to the integration. What I'm realizing from my experiences with clients and things like this is how much I am advocating for integration, and here's why. There are so many instances where what I call pocket therapies, and what I mean by that is things that you do in little pockets of the day, and you do them once. You go to yoga, you meditate for 20 minutes, and you do that, and then you have, you know, a juice, or, you know, there's like things that you do. I'm going to do this one thing. I'm going to deep breathe one time a day. And that's amazing, and that's going to be a step, and that's incredible, and I'm not taking that away from anybody. But I think a goal, and what I'm seeing is more effective, is to move from pocket therapies, you know, in other words, this partition time I've talked about, to more integration. Because when you live an integrated life, you're engaged throughout the day. And I always think about meditation, because I've tried to meditate. It's very hard for me just time-wise and schedule-wise. Could I do it? Yes, of course. I could get up at 5 a.m. and meditate for 20 minutes. But my motivation, to jump back to motivation, my motivation is to learn for myself and to teach my clients how to better live life in the world better. And meditation, when you sit on a pillow, is pocket therapy. You are removing yourself. And sometimes there's a totally excellent time to do that. In fact, my running is that for me. But in addition to that, I also want to be engaged during life and be able to be aware and attentive and present as well. So for me, what's working with me now, very much on a personal level, but also with my clients, is to marry pocket therapies plus integrated activities, integrated steps, a deep breath one time per hour, the push-ups one time per hour, little things that we do throughout the day to check in, journal entries, whatever that is, but in a more integrated fashion. I think, again, the overall goal is how to live better. Now, can 20 minutes of meditation affect the rest of your day? Of course. But I've also known plenty of people who meditate for that 30 minutes, and then they come out of that room and they're back into their life, and they're so not calm and stress-free, and they're compartmentalizing and shoving things down, and they're not, you know, acting on things, you know, they're not them as much that I think they could be if they just added in check-in times throughout the day. So again, that's just where I'm at right now. I did notice when I broke the water lines with my friend who was helping me dig it, I didn't, you know, it's like it happened and it was a bummer and I felt stress, but very quickly I was like, it's just happening. And I didn't react badly to it. I didn't go, oh man, this is the worst day in the world, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, let's go fix that. So it's what it is, okay? That was the least helpful statement. It's what it is. All right, but back to, real quick, don't forget the hashtag dial back day. Got it? So that was a total non sequitur. We're talking about dial back day. We're talking about integration. Boom. Okay? If you make the goal about, you know, how you feel today, then that plays into the effectiveness of this approach. That plays into the effectiveness of any approach, really. Some of the goal that you set can be down the line. You don't want to get cancer. Fine. Some of that goal should and can't, not should, but try for it to be about today, about feeling good today. Yes, I don't want to get cancer 40 years from now, but also I got 40 years more to live before I do or don't get cancer. And I'd kind of like to feel really good and energetic and do cool things besides just eat my favorite food at every meal. There's other stuff I'd kind of like to accomplish. And so that allows a backdrop for you to maybe not eat your very favorite food at every meal because you got other things to consider all of a sudden. Huh. Isn't that cool? Well, I also want to travel, and the food I'm eating is preventing me from doing that because I spend so much time at the doctor's office and I spend so much money on prescription drugs and non-prescription drugs that it's becoming prohibitive to me living the life that I want to live. Okay, cool. I'm going to go run tomorrow morning because it's a time for me to take a break and think about things. Really less about the running, isn't it? Okay. And running for me, by the way, has always always been that for me. It's never, I've never been at a time where I was like, I got to compete. I got to go get faster and faster and faster. It's always first and foremost been about this meditation time for me and time to breathe and everything else. And even the ultramarathon was like, how can I be okay with this struggle? How can I watch it and be in a place of comparative misery, but get through it in a way that's not debilitating and a way that I recover from quickly? And I think I did okay with that. Mm. Okay, Mr. Espresso. All right. I'm going to get into the subject of this week's episode, and I've kind of touched on it already, but this is really what I want to talk about. The title of this episode is called Get the Fight in You. There's a couple things going on here with me, and I'm going to come back to my dial back day, which for me, again, is fruit, but this is my dial back day. And part of and this could just be my wiring. There's part of me that wants to know that I can do this. I've mentioned it before. There's part of me that wants to know that I'm not beholden to my routine so much that I can't break it anymore, that I can never not do something that I do most days. I'll be frank. It pisses me off the idea that somehow I can't just eat fruit on a given day. Like, it's ridiculous. And it kind of bothers me that it's even a struggle. Like, it just, I feel this kind of like, really? You can't go one freaking day? Like, that's in my brain, right? That's how annoying my voice sounds to me. It's like, really? You can't do one freaking day? But that's kind of it. And then I was thinking like, well, that's not such a bad thing. I mean, that's the fight. And how much fight would we have in nature? We have more is the answer to that question, because in nature, it is so much about basic survival that, and this is the kind of a morbid thought, but there is a sense of survival of the fittest. I know you guys have heard of that. And one time I read that it didn't actually mean strongest. It meant the animals that can procreate most effectively, essentially what that means, that's fitness. But for the sake of this episode, I want you to think of fitness as what we think of in the modern world as fitness, as strength. Okay. There's a sense of, you know, in the wild, a literal survival of the fittest, that those who were able to, in our case, think creatively and intelligently, and to figure out solutions via tools and everything else, and physically, you know, less susceptible to infection, disease, physically stronger to escape or fight predators. I mean, there was very real benefit to being of strong mind and strong body, that, you know, aside from the fact that that was, you know, evolutionarily and procreatively more attractive to mates and things like that, and sort of the natural selection of genes, fine. But in the modern world, we've removed ourselves out of the food chain. It's definitely no longer survival of the fittest. We have many people in our population that are so physically weak or so physically out of shape that there's no way they would survive in nature if dropped in nature today. But that's fine. It's just not what's needed. We also have people who are mentally they're not like debilitated, but we're not engaged mentally, where if we were dropped in, we would go, okay, let me figure this out. We would go, why isn't my phone connected to tell me what to do here? Siri, tell me where to get, how to make fire. You know, like how would we like negotiate that stuff? It's a very interesting thing that we've done here, because it really isn't, well, survival of the fittest has taken on a new meaning in the modern world. I mean, it doesn't in a way actually apply in the modern world. It's just that we have sort of redefined fitness to be the person who can rip off the most people at Goldman Sachs and make $4 billion, that's going to be like the new model of like, okay, well, that's the person that's going to survive best in the modern world. That's kind of a weird thing. But again, it doesn't speak to health and happiness. And to me, you know, weak in body, weak in mind, still surviving. And in fact, that kind of weakness, and I'm not a good, bad, but like a literal weakness, like the inability of the mind to work creatively, to be engaged, the inability of the body to do basic stuff, is creating difficulties for our entire species. And the more fit, you know, the more these people are able to survive, it's hard for us as an entire species. We're the most successful species I guess in the history of the world, probably. We have numbers that are now so disproportionate to what we would actually be achieving in nature because of the world we've created. And so we have this amazing population, and to any outsider off our planet, we would go, okay, that's the survival of the fittest. That's the most fit species. That's the greatest species. That's the strongest species, obviously, because look at their numbers and look at how much control they have over every other species in the world and over all the natural resources, et cetera. But we're heading for breakdown, and we are breaking down in the process. And when you look closer, we are essentially not that successful. We're not very successful. In most ways, we're failing, but we're keeping ourselves fit in terms of an evolutionary standpoint. Now, there's some people who think we're heading for the ultimate, like, you know, we're going to be put out of our misery. You know, we're going to create such a situation environmentally that our species dies off. Who knows? But looking closer at this idea, it kind of sheds light on how important real strength of body is, real strength in mind, how to survive well in this modern world. Surviving, we kind of got that dialed in. We know how to survive because we're keeping people survive that would never exist in nature. Thank goodness, right? Because it's our loved ones and things like that. But really being successful, not by numbers and not by how much we can blow up our population, but successful in terms of the quality of our lives. That's amazing. That's the goal. Now, where I went with get the fight in you is, I think in some ways we're too easy on ourselves because we don't need to be doing much to survive. So we sort of set the bar so low for all of us that we go, yeah, I don't have to do that. I don't have to move my body. And essentially how I look at it is we've lost the fight. We've lost this fight in a way. I think it's in us deep down, but we don't access it. And so I, as much as I'm frustrated that I have a hard time getting through one day with fruit, there's a part of me that likes the fact that I've got a fight left in me that goes, this pisses me off that I can't do. I want to do this. I want to know that I can get through one damn day and that I actually can do it. And I think that's okay. I think that's not only okay, I think part of the small steps approach, part of the way that I approach my own life and with my clients is to get the fight back in you, to get the fight. Now, you might look at somebody who's taking one deep breath in the morning and go, there's no fight there. I think that's I've talked about this ad nauseum. I think it's amazing. It's super powerful. That's strong. That is strong. I don't even know. I think being super fit in terms of, you know, body and strength and mind is an anomaly in the modern world. It's so hard to achieve that. You sort of have to have a lot of wealth. You know, it sort of has to be your only job to do that. It takes so much time and energy to achieve, you know, physical health and mental health in this world. You know, we need the therapy and we need all those things I mentioned last week, the Ayurveda and the Chinese herbs. It's like, it takes so much to do this. And so there is that question of, are we too easy on ourselves or do we expect too much given how nutty the world is? I think there's a good happy medium. I think that we are in many ways too easy on ourselves. I think we want to say it's just curvy when we know better, like I talked about that. But at the same time, I think our expectations to achieve some amazing level of Vogue level body, given how most of us live, I think is too crazy too. The fight that I want you to get in and bring back into all of you is this fight to make it about what you want. The fight should be not about what you're told you should look like or not about what you're told you should feel like, but how you want to look and how you want to feel. And then it's realistic and it's sustainable and it's you. And the fight is that it's you now. You're not just this person sitting back, letting all this stuff bombard you and somebody saying, okay, see how Hugh Jackman looks. That's what that looks like. So go do that thing. Well, that thing ain't you. There's no fighting you. Okay, well, I'll just do that. And I'll do these bench presses. And there's no engagement. I think that this process to get the fight back in you is about this. It's about you fighting again for your life when this is the humorous part about it. You don't actually have to fight for your life. I always ask client, when I teach now, I say, how much of your stress day to day is life threatening? I love that question because for most human beings, none of the stress that we go through every day is life threatening. None of it. None of the stress, almost zero, is life threatening. Sure, we could get mugged and we can get all these kinds of things, but most of the day for most people in the modern world, at least in developed countries, most of our days, the stress is not life threatening. How weird is that? So we go throughout our day. And the fight is a fight of true happiness and health. It's a fight of survival. It is in a way survival, but not the kind of survival that it used to be. It's not dying from lack of food. It's how to live better. And we've got to fight for that in the context of not having to deal at all with basic survival stuff. It's a very weird, I mean, I don't necessarily have all the answers to this even, because it's just this weird dichotomy of two totally different things. We don't have to do anything to get by, most of us. Yeah, we show up at a job and we kind of do that thing, and it's not really, you can do that without any fight at all. You show up at a job, do your thing, make enough money, go buy your food. It's there down the street. You get it. You can choose what you want. It tastes good. Great. You don't have to move your body. Do it. Fine. Get it. Go home and eat. You survive. You live a whole long life. You don't need to have the fight. You don't need to fight. You don't need to go after anything. Nothing. No, you don't have to go after anything. In fact, most people don't want you to go after anything. They want you to sit on your ass on your couch and watch a movie that you paid for. My small steps approach gets the fight back in people. It says, you know what? You have control. You have more control than you think you do. You've got that there. Fight it. Fight for it. Not fight it. Fight for it. Fight for your life, because you don't actually have to fight for your life. Now you have, it's in a way you can look at it like this. This is the benefit of not having to actually fight for survival, like getting attacked by a lion. You can fight for a life of pleasure and joy and happiness. That's a great thing that we can afford in the modern world, and we're not taking advantage of it. We're not, none of us. And that's why I think on some level we are too easy on ourselves. And that's why I wrote about discomfort recently and talked about it recently. I think we are too easy on ourselves. I think we let ourselves get away with doing less than what we really actually want to be doing. In the context of stress, and I wanted to mention this in the context of stress because, you know, I always talk about stress. I want to be clear that all stress is about survival. Everything that you do when you're stressed is your body's way of surviving. That's what it's programmed to do. Now, again, is it life-threatening in the modern world? Not for most of us. But the body reacts, put it this way, to how you interpret stress. And so when you interpret something as stressful, whether it just be a freaking report that you have due, your body says, okay, I've got to survive through this. There is fight in the body. I'll put it that way. There's fight in that body. That's the body's fight to survive. Cells on a cellular level under stress go into protective mode. The body will respond to say, I've got to get through this. And there's a fight there. I agree. Yes. I'm basically looking at it like protectionism. On an emotional level, like on a psychological level, we also go into protectionist mode when we're under stress. We shut down, we compartmentalize, we see something in the world and it bothers us so much and it makes us so stressed and unhappy and we can't deal with it because it's too much for us to deal on top of our otherwise stressful lives. And so we shove it down and we compartmentalize it. It's our emotional lives mirror our physical lives. When we compartmentalize and don't deal with stuff because we just can't deal with it right now, that's what the body's doing too. I can't deal with that right now. I can't repair that thing right now. I've got to deal with this right now. And it's a protectionism. It's this locking. It's like you're in lockdown. Okay, guys, lockdown. We're in lockdown all the time. What I mean by get the fight in you is, how do we come out of this protectionist way of entering our lives where we don't want any stress and we're trying to avoid everything? We compartmentalize anything that's negative or anything that bothers us a little bit. We don't confront people who are treating us with disrespect. Because we're fear, we just shove that down. We don't confront things. We're afraid. Where's the fight in us? How do we get that fight back to say, maybe I can't have the conversation that's uncomfortable today, but that's who I want to be, for crying out loud. I've got fight in me. I don't care how old you are. How do you fight for your quality of life? How do you fight for a life that you want to live now that you don't have to fight for the leopard that's attacking you? Good. God, got those locked up and in reserves. So now how do you fight for the life you want to live? Do you have the fight to fight for that life? Do you? I want to get this back in you. How you do it? Find out the life you want to live first. Small step into it, because as soon as you make those little movements to bring in activity and behaviors that are adding to the life and creating that life that you want to be a little bit more, you realize there is fight left in you, because you're, first of all, listening to this podcast. Again, like I said, I think I can't remember when. You wouldn't be listening to this if you thought that you had no fight in you. You want to know how to do it. Now, maybe you listen to this like you want this to be another quick fix and you want this to be a magic pill. Fine. But you think that there's an ability for you to live a life that you're not living now and you want to live that. There's a fight in you. There's a spark in you. I'm just telling you what I think is the truth, which is that this is a process that takes time. You've got to know what it is you want and why you want it and how to get it. And you got to tear away all the crap and all the marketing and all the stuff that's making you false promises, and not compare those things to my approach, but just to say apples and oranges. That's a quick fix model. SIDS is a way to live and approach your life. You may disagree with me, but I'm just not advocating for a diet. I'm not advocating for a quick fix. I don't have a time limit on anything. This is your whole entire life. This is to put the fight in. How do you fight every day to get up and live the best way you can in a world that makes it such that not only do you not have to, but they prefer that you didn't. They'd prefer that you didn't actually try to break the mold. Then it's better if you just kind of do what everybody else does. Okay? Where's the fight in you? Is there fight in you? Answer, yes. How do you get to it? By engaging more, by paying more attention, by doing these little things that create moments in your day that are you and that make you aware of who you are. That's the small step way, and it's always going to be effective if you engage in it this way, period. If I tell you to put a piece of raw cucumber on your plate and you make it about calories and hydration, that ain't you. If you make it about treating yourself well and learning that you don't have to have the same food every day and that you have the freedom and liberation to create the life you want to create, that's it. That's the ball game. That's the ball game. And then it's just, okay, keep doing that for the rest of your life. Boom. Got it? Get the fight in you. Get the fight in you. Bring this back. It may have been gone for a while and you may just been skating by with TV dinners that you don't even have to put out effort to cook, and TVs and all the things you want to do, but you don't do them because you don't have to. So you sit down on your couch and you just kind of dazed go by. And again, if you're happy, don't touch a thing. But if you're not, get the fight back in you. Get the fight back in you, and it's time to take your life back. Not taking TV away from you, not taking TV dinners away from you. I'm saying create your new most of the time. You can still do those things, but where do they sit in your life? What part do they play in your life? That's the only question. Are they your most of the time? Fine. Is it making you happy and healthy? There's your question. Ask it first. Got it? All right, you guys. I'm hanging it up for today. I'm going to go get some melon. I'm going to go eat some melon. And yeah, that's it. If you want to email me, which you should, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Email me any questions, comments. You know, thank you again to the gentleman who emailed me about that awesome coffee with butter. I hope all of your metabolisms get really fast this week. I'm teasing. All right. Send me an email if you want. Thank you, everybody, for your support and for listening to this podcast. Please spread the word to a friend. Okay? Good. I'll talk to you guys next week. In the meantime, be well.
When you sleep, sleep unbroken sleep. Fall to a place where all is sweet. Slowly drift in there. And when you dream, dream of simple things. Dream of the dream. of kings and queens. Dream of found things. And your sweet way so silent and safe. I hope I will always be what you want me to be. And when you wake, wake to a sky that is almost blue, to wishes that always come true, so sadness will not look on you. And your sweet way so silent and safe. I hope I will always be what you want me to be. And your sweet way so silent and safe. I hope I will always be what you want me to be.